Today's news.
Hello, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. We'll continue with our look at Timald, it being our National Day tomorrow, of course. Well, of course, our National Day is on the 5th, but it is tomorrow because of, well, what I thought I'd do is look back 100 years, Timald Day, 1925, to be exact, if your maths isn't quite up to it. And, well, you'd be surprised to hear, Timald Day, 1925, from the Peel City Guardian, Saturday, July the 4th. Timald Day, July the 5th, this year falls on a Sunday, and in consequence, the ancient Timald ceremony will be held on Monday next. In addition to the usual routine business, the acts are to be promulgated, 18 acts to be promulgated. I think there's five this year, is it? A summary being read first in English and then in Manx. Nothing new there then, of course, the moving of Timald Day if it falls on a weekend. In the Ramsey Courier of July the 3rd of 1925, we're told the regulations for Timald ceremony to be held on Monday, July the 6th, July the 5th being a Sunday, have been issued and follow the usual procedure. The service in the chapel will commence at 11:15 a.m. and there will be limited accommodation in the chapel for those of the general public who have already applied for tickets. Does that still go on? Is there a queue? The military guard of honour will be furnished by the King William's College Officers Training Corps and a detachment of the Isle of Man Boy Scouts, including 20 from Ramsey, will be present. After the ceremony on the hill, the procession will, as usual, return to the chapel where a brief sitting of Timald will be held. The Mona's Herald of Wednesday, July the 8th, so just after the event in 1925, WMA Rally on Timald Day, that's the World Manx Association, oversees visitors at the nunnery, the Duke of Athol and his unfortunate mission. His grace recalls his Manx associations, a reassurance. And then in quite a long piece, we're told the annual gathering of the World Manx Association took place at the nunnery on Monday afternoon. Unfortunately, the weather prevented the function taking place out of doors, as was intended, and a hurried last-minute arrangement was necessary to accommodate the large crowd of visitors in the hall of the nunnery mansion. Yes, weather always plays a bit of a part, doesn't it? Nearly 300 persons were present, a large proportion of them being overseas Manxmen and women returned to the island for a holiday. Visitors were present from South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, USA, and even China. I wonder how many Manx people there are in China. Still goes on, doesn't it? People coming home for Timald Day to see the ceremony, even if only once in their lifetime. It speaks volumes, the article goes on, for the enthusiasm of the company that, although about half of them were obliged to stand throughout the proceedings, which lasted for over 2 hours, owing to the cramped space and shortage of chairs, no one seemed to tire. The Speaker of the Keys welcomed the visitors to the nunnery on behalf and in the absence of the President, Mr. J. Lee Goldie Taubman, and said that although Mr. Taubman's health was steadily improving, he'd been advised to remain in the south of England for some time yet, presumably because the sun was shining. He felt sure that the President would have their sincerest sympathy and that he was only expressing their heartfelt wish when he expressed the hope that he might soon be restored to full health and vigour. They were indebted to the President for his kind invitation to hold their annual gathering in the nunnery again, notwithstanding his absence. He thought they could look upon this as another proof of the great interest he took in anything that tended to foster things Manx. Hear, hear, we hear. Continuing, the Speaker outlined the meaning of the WMA Timald Day gathering. It was first an expression of their national life, just as the ceremony earlier in the day had been. Secondly, it provided an opportunity of welcoming overseas Manx folk home on holiday and gave them all an opportunity to renew acquaintances and strengthen their bond with their native land. Fascinating piece, like I said, it goes on for quite some length. The Duke of Athol over as well, we're told. The Duke of Athol produced a letter dated the 5th of September 1736, sent by Governor Murray to the then Duke of Athol, and he read the following excerpts. There is an entire stop put to trade, not a drop of liquor since you left us. We must hope for better days. This shows what a precarious footing the trade of the island stands upon. The least blast from Westminster disturbs us all. Brackets, loud laughter. Concluding, his grace said he hoped he would be able to stand between this latest blast from Westminster and the Manx people. Brackets, loud applause. Overseas visitors were invited to speak. Only four availed themselves of the opportunity. And we're told these four, Mr. Daniel Tier, the chairman of the Los Angeles Manx Society, Dr. Cool, Fuchao, China, Mr. R.H. Gell in Cleveland, and Mr. Quirk, also Cleveland, Ohio. We move on to a piece entitled The National Holiday in the Ramsey Courier, Friday, July the 10th of the same year in question, 100 years ago this year, 1925. Timbledale, we're told, has been for generations regarded as our national holiday. It has stood as our day of independence and as such has always been observed as a day for freedom from work and a time for enjoyment. The conditions, however, to some extent altered, particularly so during the past few years. Because of the earlier advent of the visitor, it has become increasingly difficult for all classes to recognise that day as a holiday. Large numbers are perforce engaged in their boarding houses and hotels catering for patrons, and many shops too have to keep open. The situation was peculiarly difficult this year in consequence of the day falling upon a Monday when the public marts are held, and just after large crowds of visitors have arrived. The visitor who is not particularly interested in Timbald finds it strange to discover shops closed, and it is particularly awkward in many cases. We are confident that Manx sentiment rightly desires that the day should be a national holiday. It is indeed a bank holiday, and moreover, one of the days specifically named as a trade union holiday. The question arises as to whether, with changing circumstances and the earlier advent of the visitor, the date might not be altered. Move Timbledale 100 years ago suggestions? Hasn't happened yet. 70 years ago, Timbledale was held on Midsummer Day, June the 24th, and there appears to be many good reasons why we should go back to that old date, which we believe would have the effect of ensuring that day would be preserved as a national holiday in the fullest sense for all classes. Well, I think we've moved on again, haven't we? But would you like to see Timbledale earlier? 24th of June, perhaps? Back where it was? In the Examiner of Friday, July the 10th of 1925, Timbald and the closing of shops, picking up this theme. We've received a number of complaints regarding the closing of shops for Timbledale on the plea that most people go to the ceremony. A well-known Douglas tradesman refuted this claim and sends in a photograph of Strand Street taken at 11 a.m. on Monday last, showing the street densely packed with people, largely visitors apparently, and all busily engaged in shopping at that hour. Our correspondent asserts that more people passed through Strand Street on Timbledale than on any one day this year, and declares that his own cash takings on that day exceeded a fortnight's takings in February. He observed, "Now is the time to discuss the question of whether it is wise or not to close our business premises on Timbledale." Another tradesman, a butcher, conscious of the fact that his next-door neighbour, a grocer, and a large multiple shop opposite would both be closed for the day, got in a large stock of butter and eggs from the country and cleared it all. Good marketing. Well done, that man. There was considerable grumbling amongst visitors at the lack of shopping facilities, particularly regarding foodstuffs. A resident from Port Erin writes, complaining bitterly of the fact that no notice appeared in the Examiner last week regarding the closing of shops. That was Timbledale. He says, "We take the Examiner every week, and we depend upon these advertisements and notices for our guidance re public events. We found no notice in yours of the 3rd inst that shops in Douglas will be closed on Timbledale, and I went there to do business with a gentleman who does not close except under general compulsion. I found that the Shop Assistance Union compelled the holiday, and my friend's shop was shut. I believe in holidays and have no grudge against the Shop Assistants or their union, but I think some public announcement should have been made in good time in order that I and others who suffered might have avoided it. Personally, I have wasted over 3 hours through lack of notice of the closing." You'd do well in the Manor line. It certainly does seem a pity that the traders should sacrifice the opportunity to do business on Timbledale, and the time is opportune to discuss whether some other convenient day could not be taken in its stead for a general holiday by shopkeepers. Well, what do you think of that? And finally, the one piece, it's not from 1925, this is actually in the Ramsey Courier of Friday, July the 9th, 1954. But it was an interesting piece in Notes and Comments by a Man About Town of a unique record. And it says this: "It is indeed unlikely that any island official has attended Timbald in so many different capacities as His Honour Ramsey G. Johnson, who on Monday..." This was 1954, attended his 30th open-air ceremony at St. John's on Timbledale. in 1925, the year in question this week, 100 years ago, and at the following year, he was present as a member of the House of Keys, in 1930 and the following years as Clerk of Tynwald, and in 1938 and succeeding years as Vicar General, also as High Bailiff. In 1947, when His Honour became Second Deemster, he was there, of course, in a very important capacity. Last year, he was Acting First Deemster and did the promulgation of the laws in English in the absence through illness of Deemster Cowley. And this year, he was on the hill as Captain of the Parish of Onchan. Now that is good going, isn't it, has to be said. I don't think that record is likely to be beaten, unless you know different. Suffice to say, Tynwald has always been old news. Should we move it? Should the shops close? Answers on a postcard, please. Hope you have a happy Tynwald Day this year, no matter whether you're going there, or whether you're going shopping, or just staying at home and doing the garden. The sun's bound to be out. It always is on Tynwald Day. Until next week, cheerio. You're going to be yesterday's news.